Here at Daleville Christian Church, we believe, be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And that statement of our belief from Colossians, the first chapter. The reading from God's Word today is from Matthew chapter 7, just two verses, verses 13 and 14, where Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We began this year here at Daleville Christian Church with a series of messages entitled Words That Divide and Words That Unite. Come to find out that what we believe separates us from other people. Even more interesting is that our God wants it that way. Our Lord Jesus said that no one can have two masters. We can't serve more than one God. When we declare Jesus as the Christ, Son of the living God, we are no longer able to be Muslim or Jew or Buddhist. And our God insists on exclusivity, so we can't be Hindu. Hindus are not exclusive worshipers. You might tell them to believe in Jesus Christ, and they might say, okay, but they still have many gods that they follow. Then we discover that Jesus is interested in followers. God wants faithful volunteers, and that means we cannot be merely fans of Jesus. Fans of ball teams watch the game, sometimes from their homes, they stay in their homes, or they go home after the game. Now, devoted ball team fans might follow the team bus, the team vehicle, the team flight, might travel with the team, but they're still fans. They're not playing the game with the team. Jesus isn't interested in fans of Jesus. Jesus isn't interested in fans. Jesus does not want a fan club. Jesus doesn't want a fan club unless a fan club would lead someone to step out and follow Jesus. So Jesus' words divide the fans of Jesus from the followers of Jesus. Today we discover that following the Jesus way of life, being a true follower of Jesus, isn't a seasonal thing. There's no off-season for the followers of Jesus. There may be an off-season for fans of Jesus, but there's no off-season for followers of Jesus. At the same time, you can fall off the Jesus pathway of life. If you've been following Jesus very long in your life, you've discovered there are times when you fall off the Jesus pathway for your life. Then the question is, what do you do? What do you do when you fall off the Jesus pathway of life? Well, you need to get back on the Jesus pathway of your life. But I'm getting ahead of my own sermon. I looked at several translations of today's verse, Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. The Holman Christian Standard Bible puts it a little differently. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. Whatever translation or version I looked at, I think the sense is the same. Two paths. One is hard, it's narrow. Its gate is narrow or small, and the road leads to life. The other path is wide and broad, and so is the gate. It's not difficult to negotiate that pathway, but that pathway leads to destruction. One path leads to life, the other path leads to destruction. The word translated destruction in the Greek is apaleon. It's a verb to destroy, to kill, to perish. The same word Jesus uses in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever shall believe in him will not perish. I said it before, perishing is a real possibility in this life. Jesus thought so, and Jesus taught so, and Jesus came to prevent our destruction. The New Living Translation states it this way: you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. Clearly it states that there are two ways, two roads, two gates. No one can go through both gates. No one can take both pathways. No one can be led to both ends of the road. There are two gates, narrow and wide. There are two ways, narrow or small and broad. And there are two ends to the two ways. One is life, the other is destruction. Now, I confess I've been reading people's comments online about God, and I'm getting tired of people saying that God sends people to hell. That's not what this verse says. Jesus clearly says the gate is small and the way that's narrow that leads to life, but Jesus does not say you can't find the way to life or that you will never find it. Jesus does not say that you cannot walk the way to life. But people find the road to destruction easy. And they go that way. And since we're talking about words that divide, notice two pathways, they are exclusive. You and I cannot have it both ways. One route leads to one destination, the other route leads to another destination. But life is available, and eternal life, if you take that pathway. And what does that pathway consist of? Once when Jesus was losing followers, that's in John chapter 6, Jesus asked the disciples if they also wanted to leave him. And Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus himself said, "The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life." The road to life is the Jesus pathway. Now the words that divide, the division comes in being on the right path. We so often don't divide that way. Jesus says the way is narrow. It's narrow, so it's easy to get off the path. You have to think about the hill country in Galilee where there are pathways around the hills, sometimes steep on both sides. Easy to slip, easy to trip, easy to wander off. Sometimes you're going downhill, that makes it even a little tougher. Sometimes you're going uphill with the narrow road and the steep sides. It's easy to get off the path. So if you make a wrong choice, or you give in to temptation, or fall back, or trip, or slip, that's exactly what those are. They are falls or trips or slips. The question is, are you still on the path and do you still want to be on the path? Or have you abandoned the path? You slipped off. Are you going to get back on? You tripped off. You fell off. Are you going to get back on? When a believer, a follower of Jesus, falls, trips, or slips, it isn't that they left the path. The question is, what are they going to do now? You know, in Jesus' story of the 100 sheep, when Jesus' shepherd goes to fetch the lost sheep, the sheep wants to be with the other 99. The sheep got lost, but the sheep has not decided to go a whole different pathway. Bring the sheep back to the path from which it wandered. Why is this so important? Because of the way Christians sometimes treat each other. So many Christians are ready to write off brothers and sisters who slip or fall or wander off the path. They decide they're lost forever instead of lost for a day or lost for a season. Some people wander off the path of Jesus for weeks, months, even years. But it doesn't mean that they have abandoned the path. Now, if someone has decided to quit the Jesus path, then they are on the path of destruction. But Jesus knows we're going to stumble. Jesus knows we're going to drop off, slide off, trip off, fall off. Jesus knows that. Jesus wants us to stay on the straight and narrow. And that's why the important question is when we do trip, slip, fall, wander, what will you do? Well, we're supposed to get back on. Anytime I step off the narrow way and stay off that path, I'm going toward hell. I may not be very close to hell where I've stepped off, but if I remain on a different path than the narrow Jesus road, I will eventually wind up in hell. If I stay on the road to destruction, if I stay on the road to destruction, my destination will be destruction. And so that raises another question for us. How do you treat other people who seem to be bound for hell? Jesus offered words of life. Jesus offered a different way. Keeping to the narrow path may be hard, but you have help staying on the narrow path. You're not alone. That's where the church comes in. The word brother shows up a lot in the New Testament, but the word brother shows up more in Matthew's book, the one we're in, where we quote Jesus' words about the two paths. So Matthew knows that although Jesus talked about a narrow way, Jesus also talked about having help to stay on the path. Matthew chapter 5, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your offering and go to your brother. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? And then later in Matthew's book, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The word child or children also occurs many times in the New Testament, but no more than in Matthew's book, where we have the verses for today. The word child or children is often a term used for a fellow follower of Jesus, Matthew 10, and if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly, I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Helping a brother, helping a sister. There's reward in that. Helping them get back on the path of Jesus. But there's severe penalty for those who would pull them off the path. Jesus said, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Even the discipline of the church is for the purpose of keeping the disciples on the narrow path. Matthew chapter 18 again. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, that's one or two other believers, that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church, tell the whole church. And if they refuse to listen, even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Pointing out your fault is for the purpose of keeping you on the narrow way. But if the church member refuses the church's direction, then you treat the person as one who is on a different path. Treat them as one who is on the path of destruction. But first, Try to get them back on the path of Jesus. If someone on the Jesus path slips, trips, falls, or wanders, the church Jesus intended is supposed to help that believer get back up, get back on, get back to the Jesus pathway. I'm afraid that a present-day saying is far too true. The church is the only organization that shoots its wounded. If a brother or sister falls, fellow Christians often abandon them. No words of mercy, no assistance, no wheelchair, no crutch. Too many of us are like the two others in Jesus' Samaritan story. The man hurt by the side of the road is ignored by the two others in Jesus' story, those who should have been faithful, the priest and the priest's assistant, abandoned the man hurt by the side of the road. And that isn't what Jesus intended. Jesus knew that the road he asked us to follow is hard. Jesus thought he was providing us with help to walk the narrow road. Jesus called it the church. Jesus sent the disciples out in pairs to look after each other. Do you know, that's how the church was recognized in the ancient world. The church was the only organization that looked after not only its own widows and orphans and sick, the church looked after other groups' widows and orphans. The church showed mercy. The church demonstrated mercy, and it set them apart from others. Words that divide and words that unite. Amen.